You know, every church has a history. We all do. Every church has a history. And, you know, in that history, you have success. You also have failures, joys, sadness. I mean, that when you examine that, that's truly what life is all about. You know, a lot can happen in 51 years. You know, in 51 years, you go back. It's like, wow, you can pinpoint certain events in your own life and a church. You know, a church, 51 years, 7 different ministers. You know, changes in the leadership of the church. You go through waves of gossiping and fighting among each other. All that is part of the legacy of that particular congregation. People might come and go. I mean, 51 years, a lot of people, I mean, some have died, some have lived. I mean, a lot can happen in 51 years of existence. You know, any of you who's been here more than 6 years can testify to some of the things that I'm talking about. You know, how you go through trials and tribulations as a family. You don't even have to be a church. Family, you go through trials and tribulations, joys and sadness and you know, successes and failures. But then if you're still alive, you're still kicking, you realize God's not done with you yet, because he still has a plan. He still has a purpose, that he's still keeping you despite all the things, all the challenges that you face. You know, God's not done with Staten Island Christian Church, because after 51 years, we are still here. Despite the challenges and difficulties that we as a congregation have faced and will continue to face. I mean, we do not know how long the Lord's going to allow us to be here. But you and I have a choice to make for as long as we are here, that we be able to worship God and we'll be able to be faithful to him. You know, when I think about what I said at the beginning, that every church has a history, I think about the nation of Israel. I think there's a lot of parallel between the nation of Israel and a church. You know, I mean, you can call the nation of Israel, that was a congregation. A lot of people come together. God made a promise that he was going to take him from slavery to a land, a prosperous land, flowing with milk and honey, as it is described in the Bible. You know, as you go through challenges and difficulties, one thing that remains constant is this thing that we call the faithfulness of God. I mean, if we are truly honest, we realize that sometimes we ourselves are not completely sincere and we're not completely honest with God. And regardless of our dishonesty, regardless of our unfaithfulness to him, God remains faithful. And I say amen for that, because wow. He remains faithful to, I mean, that's one of his attributes. That's one of his qualities, characters. God is always faithful, faithful to keep his word, to keep his promises. You know, I think, like I said, I think about the nation of Israel, because when they made it to the land, there was a leader named Joshua. Joshua was a successor of Moses. And Joshua, when you think about him, he's like a military leader. So Joshua, in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, he challenged the nation. He challenged them to be faithful to God. And I love it, because he reviewed the history of the nation. Just like you and I mean, we all have a legacy that we can look back, passing in which we find success, failures, joy, sadness. So Joshua realized, okay, we made it to the land. Now, before you go and enjoy your inheritance, remember where you came from. Never forget that. Remember how the Lord protected you. So in chapter 24, 1 through 13, there's a review of the history of Israel. Now imagine, it's been 40 years. Joshua's been traveling with his people, along with Moses, 40 years. And they went through wilderness and hunger and thirst and fighting against enemy. And finally, the Lord delivered them into the land that he swore to give to them. And if you read Joshua 24, verse 1 through 13, you realize that God's faithfulness was evident in keeping his word to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He says, I'm going to bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm going to make you into a great nation, he said to Abraham. Abraham, you know, only had a son, and said, you know, through a son born to you and Sarah, you're going to have a lot of people. And even kings will come out of you. He made that in Genesis chapter 12. There's a lot of books that go from Genesis to Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua 24, and then Joshua is reviewing the history. He said, remember how God made a promise to Abraham. So he was faithful to keep his word to Abraham. God was also faithful to provide for his people. You remember many of the stories that you grew up listening to in Sunday school, you know, when they were wandering in the wilderness and they ran out of food and water. And at one time, Moses struck a rock. He hit the rock with a staff and water came gushing out. The Lord provided water and provided food, manna. So Joshua 24, 1 through 13 is a testament to God's faithfulness in providing for his people. God also protected his people. He fought their battles. You know, it wasn't easy wandering over there because people would come like the Ammonites and all those Ites people that you read about, Jebusites, Girgashites, Hittites. They came against Israel. And who fought for Israel? Yahweh, the Lord. So he was faithful in protecting because God said, hey, you're not going to stop my people from going to where I'm going to take him. You got to be out of your mind. So you come against them, you come in against me, and God delivered them. God was also faithful in bringing them to the land that he promised them, to the land of Canaan, the land that was inhabited by the Canaanites and Jebusites and Perizzites, all those Ites. They're like nine Ites over there. And some of those people were really intimidating, and God was able to bring the nation there to possess the land. Then go with me now to Joshua 24. Because after Joshua reviewed the history, then he posed a challenge to the people. Joshua is saying, you see, God's always been faithful. He's been faithful in bringing us here. He was faithful in providing for us. He was faithful in keeping his word that he said, I'll be with you. You be my people. I be your God. You know, to me, the Lord said, you be my treasure possession. So that's why anybody who comes against you, they're coming against me. He kept his promise. And now after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they finally made it to the land of the promise. That's what you read in Joshua 24. They're about to go. Joshua understood, you know what? We don't have any more war now. We don't have to fight anymore. Before you go and enjoy your inheritance, remember how tough it was to get here. And remember that it wasn't you, but it was the Lord who brought us here. That's why I realized the similarities between a church and the nation of Israel. Because as a church, you go through many of the things. The Lord will provide for you. He protected you from what you cannot protect yourselves. He keep his word saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen to what Joshua tells the people after he reviews the history. Two verses. Verses 14 and 15. It says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua challenged the nation of Israel to what? To commit themselves to the Lord. Yes, you being around, you saw evidence of God fighting your battles, providing food for you when you were hungry, protecting you from all the enemies that we encounter on the way to the land. You have witnessed that. Now, what are you going to do about it? It's almost like Joshua is saying. Then he says, commit yourself to worship God faithfully. Now, in our translation, when he says serve the Lord, serve can be synonymous of worship. Who will you serve? Whom will you worship? So Joshua is challenging the nation to commit themselves to faithfully worship God. He said, now, therefore, fear the Lord. Remember, the Bible talks about the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear the Lord, revere him, stand in awe of him, and serve him, worship him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Now, you know, when you read that, it caused me to question, why is Joshua telling them such things to the nation? Why is he challenging them like this? It's obvious that Joshua realized that in 40 years, the Israelites had not always been faithful to God in worshiping God alone. Remember, before they started traveling, right before they started to go into the wilderness, God had given them the law, which says, thou shalt not have gods beside me or before me. Don't make yourself an image. God gave him that before they started wandering for 40 years. So the Lord already gave him the law. But when you read Joshua now, it's obvious that they were not faithful to God in just honoring and serving God alone. They had all the deities, all the gods. They had man-made gods, idols. And it's obvious they, for 40 years, they were taking those gods everywhere they went, and they brought them to the land. Moses never challenged the people to get rid of them. Joshua did. That's why I think Joshua is like a brave heart type of leader. When you think about it, like, man, it's like, and he realized, hey, we made it. The Lord brought us here. He says, therefore, he says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity, honesty, and in all faithfulness. He noticed that Israel's lack of commitment in worshiping God, and that's why he challenged them to do that. Now, in order for you to worship God faithfully and honesty, for the Israelites, it meant to get rid of those gods, other gods. I mean, hello, didn't you realize the law, the first commandment ever, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you already have a whole bunch of other deities with you, and they were traveling with you, by the way, for 40 years, you carried those things with you. And now, finally, you made it to the land, and Joshua said, get rid of those things. So in order for you and I to faithfully worship God, to serve God with all sincerity and in faithfulness, we had to get rid of anything that is competing in our lives with God. There might be a lot of things that we allow to take the place of God. And then Joshua, the challenge is to get rid of those things. Those are not gods. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Joshua said, get rid of them. Say, put away the gods your fathers, your forefathers served beyond the river. That river he talks about, maybe your translation would call it, is Euphrates River. That's one of the rivers that was also by the Garden of Eden. He said, put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. And in Egypt, they were worshiping other gods, but beside God, beside the Lord, Yahweh. Like I said, it boggles my mind that God's people, God's chosen people, they knew the law. And they have people reminding them of the law. And they were worshiping Yahweh and worshiping other gods. It's almost like a buffet. Just like you get a little bit of this. There are people, they want to do religion like that. I get a little bit of Christianity, but not the bad part. Just the grace and love. I don't want justice. I get a little bit of this. I mean, and you want to make a buffet because that's you. It's all about you and whatever. If it makes you good, if it feels good, then you can do it. But the nation of Israel, remember, we go back to the covenant. God says, I be your God and you'll be my people. But guess what? I have rules and regulations. If we're going to have this relationship, if we're going to love each other, you cannot just go in after other lovers. I mean, when you think about that, it's like, if we're going to have this marriage covenant, it's you and me, baby. And the Israelites were like, oh, but there's a Hittites. And it's like, it doesn't work like that. And to me, it boggles my mind, one, that God allowed them for 40 years. I mean, God knew that they were sometimes faithful to him, but then they would honor other gods for 40 years. You see how faithful he is? That even when we mess up like that, he's still going to bring us to the land? Because it doesn't depend on you and me. We will always fail God, just like the Israelites. That's why I'm so grateful that he's always faithful, even when we might not be faithful to him. And Joshua said, put away those gods. Your forefathers worshiped beyond the river or in Egypt. You see, worshiping God, worshiping the Lord is a choice we must make. Joshua challenged the people to make that choice. And it's interesting because the Israelites will have many choices to make. When he says in verse 15, but if it is unpleasant, if it's evil in your sight to serve the Lord, he says, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whom you will worship, whether the gods of your ancestors worship or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. So you see, the Israelites have a lot of choices to make. If you decide to serve the Lord, then choose whom you will serve. Because along with Yahweh, you got the ancestral gods The gods that you grew up worshiping, that when you were a tiny baby and you began to have knowledge, your mom or dad or grandparents worship. You know, we have people like that in our society today that they say, no, I won't switch religion because I grew up in that religion. That's what we call ancestral gods. And Joshua said, choose this day, either the gods your forefathers worshiped, the ancestral gods, those that your family grew up worshiping, those gods that are passed from one generation to another. He says, or the cultural gods, the gods of the nation that you're living in right now. He said, you have choices to make, he says. And guess what? Just like the Israelites have those three choices. You either serve God, or you're either going to serve the gods your forefathers worship, or you're either going to serve the gods of the land, of the culture, right? Cultural gods. And we have many of those right now, too. There's political gods. There's the political correctness gods that, you know, you can assert, you know, identity gods out there that, you know, and the Lord says, who are you going to worship? Who are you going to serve? Joshua said, if you don't desire to worship God, Yahweh, make a choice. Who are you going to worship? The gods that you grew up worshiping or the gods of the land in where you are right now? I remember many of us, we might be familiar with the ancestral gods, those ones that our parents grew up worshiping. That probably, perhaps, wasn't the Lord, God Almighty. It was something else. But I've seen it. I've seen it in people that they have a tough time just embracing God Almighty, the Lord, because they grew up worshiping deities, or you know, they light candles to certain things that they would call gods, and they will have a tough time getting rid of that. Because you know how it is when you're birthed into a community and that's all you know and you grew up like that, and now some crazy preacher or somebody comes and say, oh, that's not a God, you gotta get rid of that. You say, you gotta be out of your mind. You say my great 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 my daddy was wrong in worshiping that? No, I'm not saying it. The Bible's saying it. And you know, like I've seen people like, you know, they will have a picture of baby, well, what they call a baby Jesus. And they would pray to baby Jesus when there's a little kid sick. And they think that picture has power. And I go back to what the Lord told the Israelites. Thou shalt not make an image of heaven or nothing. You know, because I, the Lord, am a jealous God. And if we're going to have this relationship, you better get rid of those lovers you have over there. And Joshua, just like right before the Israelites go to enjoy the land, he says, therefore, serve the Lord with faithfulness. And in order for you to serve God faithfully, you have to get rid of anything else that's competing in your life. Like God. God is surrounded. I mean, it's not just God that you worship and the Lord Almighty God. You have other deities, man-made idols. You're not being faithful to Him. Either the ancestral gods or the gods of the land, the culture that we're in. And we do have so many gods. It can be fame, money. You know, and like I said, money is not bad. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that the Bible says. Like when you love that more than God, and if we go back to the greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and mind, loving God with everything you got, with all your being. That's what the commandment is. And now we have other things. We're loving God, but we're also loving maybe my computer or my video game or maybe this show on TV that, you know, is more important to me than even my own family. I mean, those things, anything has a potential, my friends, to becoming a God. Because a God is to whatever you are loyal to and you pledge your allegiance. I mean, that whole thing, your whole life is turned upside down based on that which you worship. That's why worship is always a choice that you and I must make. That, and the choice you got to say, I will not let anything interfere with my relationship with the Lord. And guess what? There will be a lot of things that will want to interfere with you and God. And the one that Jesus said in Matthew 6, 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all those other things you're going after, they will be given to you. But make sure you know the priority, He's saying. So Joshua, I love it. He challenged the people. He said, hey, choose this day who you're going to worship. And Joshua already made the choice. He said, if you don't desire to serve Yahweh, you do not desire to worship Yahweh, Jehovah God, choose this day whom you will worship, either the gods your great-grandfathers worshipped in the river and in Egypt, or the gods of the land, the Amorites, in whose land you are living. And then Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. And it's like, Joshua is saying, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I know what choice I'm going to make. As for me and my household, we will worship Yahweh, because he is our Lord. Man, I love Joshua as a leader. You know, leader challenging the people. You got to make a decision right here. I'm not going to sugarcoat this message for you. I'm going to tell you, you got to make a choice right here. Whom you will worship. But I know what choice I'm going to make. As for me and my household, we will be loyal. We will be faithful to Yahweh. He is our God and we are his people. My friends, you know, the Lord will always be faithful. But we are the ones that at times we are not faithful always to him. God has been faithful to us as a family, as a congregation. And like Joshua is challenging the Israelites, we also must challenge ourselves. Are we going to be faithful to him for the rest of our lives? For as long as he will have us live, that, you know, I'm still going to be, make sure that I don't let anything interfere with you and in my worship, that I'm going to worship and dedicate my life to you. Being faithful to worship God starts by getting rid of whatever is competing with God in our lives. You see, Almighty God should not be competing for my attention. He should not be competing in your heart for your time. He should not be competing in my heart, in my life, for my money, for my service. That God has to beg me to serve him? That God, the Lord has to beg me to spend time with him? I mean, what kind of relationship? I mean, think about that. What kind of relationship is that? That we're in love, but we're not spending time with each other. Some of you who are dating, yeah, how does that work? You don't even respond to my text, or you not call me. We talk once a month. I mean, on Sunday morning, it's like, I mean, that relationship is not going to be very strong. And so God should not have to be, God, the Lord should not be competing in my life for his attention, for his service, for my dedication, for the devotion. If I'm truly going to be loving God with all that I have, my strength, my intellect, my heart, my emotions, everything about me, I had to love him with everything that I am, he said. And that's why Joshua challenged the nation of Israel to be faithful to God. Get rid of those other gods. They're no gods at all. And yield your hearts to the Lord. And then he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love it because when you read the story, you finish chapter 24, you're going to realize that it wasn't just Joshua and his house and his household, Joshua and his family who committed themselves to worshiping Yahweh. Jehovah God, the nation listened to Joshua. That's the kind of leader that he was. They listened to him and they said to Joshua, we too will worship. We're gonna go with you on that, Joshua. We too will worship Yahweh. He is our God. And at one time, Joshua said, you won't be able to worship God because he's a jealous guy. You mess up, he will not forgive your transgression, he told him. And they made a covenant. Even they lifted up a pillar as a reminder, like today we're making a pledge to one another that we too will serve the Lord. And the nation of Israel did that. And then you get to the book of Joshua. And I love it because in chapter 2 it says, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. It says, Israel worshiped the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Israel served Yahweh throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived them. So as long as there were people that listened to that challenge of Joshua, when he was alive, people were worshiping and serving God. Joshua 2:7. So the people served Yahweh, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. You see, I don't know about you, but as a father, as a family, that would be one of my prayers, that my family will worship God for as long as I live. Amen. That they still be going to church like I go and serving the Lord. As long as now, when I'm gone, I don't know what they're going to do. They also will have to make a choice. But the Israelites, I love it. Israel served God throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And of the elders that were there with Joshua when he posed that challenge to the people. And then you read chapter 3 of Judges, and he says something like this. And a new generation grew up, a new generation who did not know the Lord. And then Israel forgot all about Yahweh. They were good as long as Joshua was with them. And to me, it's like, what happened to the parents? Nobody was telling the kids? How is it that you have a new generation who did not even know the Lord? Like, it doesn't compute in my head. It's like, I mean, because, you know why? Because you were supposed to pass that from one generation to another. Remember, so that you always remember the Lord. That's why Joshua is reviewing the history. We are here today because he brought us. He fought for us. He provided for us. He protected us. Now, be faithful to him because he is being truly faithful to us. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. My friend, as a church, we must commit ourselves to be faithful to God where we are right now. Right now, with the resources that we have. We don't know how long we'll be here. I don't know how long I'll be here as a minister. The Lord might call me. I might die tomorrow. He might call me to Florida. I don't know. Something like that might happen. You and I have no idea what tomorrow might bring. But as long as we're here, as long as I'm the preacher of Staten Island Christian Church, my challenge is that we too must worship God through thick and thin, through trials and tribulations. No, doesn't matter what Satan throws at us, we're going to be faithful to Jesus. In this church, as long as I'm here, we're going to be preaching Jesus. Amen. And we're going to be faithful as small as a church it is, with the resources he has given us. Because, you know, God doesn't need much. All he needs for him to do whatever is whatever you have. Remember when he fed like 5,000 people just with a lunch, with two fish and 5 loaves of bread? So all that God needs to do amazing things is whatever you have, like the resources. So we as a church must be faithful to God with what he has given to us. We must be faithful to worship him. And also we got to be faithful with the things that he has entrusted to us, with our talents, abilities, with everything that we have really doesn't belong to us. It's his. But with what he has given us, we, like Joshua and the nation, we also must be faithful to the Lord. Because when you look around our history in 51 years, we are here because of the grace of God. We're here because God is faithful. Even when we have tried to split the church, when we have messed up bad and things like that, and we were not getting along with certain people, and God says, I'm still faithful because that's who I am. And he's showing us that we too must commit ourselves to him. We too, as a congregation and as families, must commit ourselves to worship him as a community for as long as we live. So, Lord, you've been faithful to me. Like, I mean, you and I spend hours telling stories of how God's been protecting you, providing, and doing so many things. And then imagine all he's asking is that we remain faithful. Remaining me, Jesus said, that we remain faithful to him. So regardless of the challenges of 2022, for many years that might come as a congregation, you know, you must choose whom you will worship. You already know what choice I have. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Staten Island Christian Church, let us go for it. Let us be faithful to our Lord for as long as he will have us here in this community. Amen?
Amen. Amen.